That's good. Hey, let's give the entire music team a great big hand of encouragement and appreciation. From our musicians, to our quartet, to our leader, and to our choir. Holy stinking moly, you all are awesome. And have you had a good day, church? Amen. Three of you, that's good. What about the rest of you? I've had a great day. Went and had lunch at Canterbury. Yeah, good stuff. I had the, what's that, Canterbury? Canterbury Club. Had that. I had some tomato soup. Had some tomato soup. Then I had Ruby Tuesdays. I had the New Orleans seafood. Yeah, I'm seeing some of you nodding your head. You're with me. Had a salad bar. And I'm still hungry. But that's okay. I want to sing you a song. By the way, let's give our production team a great hand in the corner, working our sound and our media. Let me tell you what happens. I'm going to tell you what happens in the average church. And what I'm about to tell you is the gospel truth, okay? This is the gospel truth. You never know that they're in that booth until something goes wrong. Am I telling you the truth? You don't know they're over there in the corner. When things are going great, you're just saying, "Behold, he comes, woo, right in on you." And then the microphone goes, and you look at the corner, don't you? I think these people are stinking awesome, and on the count of three, everybody's going to blow them a kiss. Are you ready? One, two, three, show them some love. Look at that right there. Blowing you some, they're giving you some sugars, right? Thank you for all you do. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll sing you a song. We're going to have a big time. Everybody stand up. Amen. You're looking lazy out there tonight. Everybody stand up, and we're going to do some cornbread gospel right here. Are you ready? Come on. Clap your hands like this and smile. Real pretty. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it, and we're going to have a little church tonight. Amen. Come on. Is tight and money's short. The river's up and the weatherman, he's calling for another storm. The pressure's on and the margin's thin. I gotta figure out a fix for this awful fix I'm in. Oh mama, what am I gonna do? And she said, child, there's only one thing you can do. Do you know it? Sing it. Don't worry about nothing. Let it go, see what tomorrow brings. Don't worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Amen. We need to pray more and worry less. Somebody say amen. Amen. Come on. Love is blind. Faith don't care. Lose your grip and your balloons go sailing off into the air. Oh, mama, what am I gonna do? And she said, child, there's only one thing you can do. Don't worry about nothing. Let it go, see what tomorrow brings. Don't worry about nothing. Pray about everything. All take a walk, take a breath. All give it all a rest. Take a cane pole to the fishing hole and catch a couple fish. And just like that, toss them back, make a little wish. Turn around, give somebody a fist bump and say, you look good and I'm glad to see you tonight. Hey, don't worry about nothing. Just let it go, see what tomorrow brings. Don't worry about it, stress about it, fret about it. Don't worry about nothing. Let it go, see what tomorrow brings. Don't worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Pray about everything. Come on now, church. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And let's give Jesus a hand clap of praise in the house tonight. Amen. Amen. Y'all go ahead and take your seat out there. Amen. We're going to have a good time in the house of God tonight. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. And we're going to talk about some really, really cool stuff tonight. And we're going to kind of do a flyover of the book of Acts, which is one of my favorite books in all of the Bible. I want to challenge you with something when you do your Bible study in your quiet time. There are times in my life when I will do what's called a topical study, and I will cherry pick different passages of Scripture from different books in order to learn about what it may be that I'm studying. For example, I've been doing a study on God's forgiveness. And I will go through the Scriptures and I will find a passage out of this book and this book, and then I'll go through the Bible and I'll just kind of cherry pick what I'm looking for in my studies, right? But I want to tell you, if you really want to understand the Bible, and if you really want to take it in the context it's to be taken in, I would challenge you, when you read the Bible and study it, to start at the very beginning of a book and read that whole book all the way through. And that you really, that's where the Bible comes to life. Amen. If you only read a certain part of a book and you don't read what's before and after it, you may totally miss what God wants for you. So I did a study on the book of Acts several months ago, and I started at the very beginning of the book of Acts, and I read it all the way through, and it's amazing what God gave me in my study of the book of Acts. Amen. We're going to talk about a really cool guy, one of my favorite characters in all of the Bible, Paul. And if you've ever heard about Paul, then you know that guy went through some stuff, but he stood firm and he didn't quit. If I would give my message a title tonight, it would be this message: Don't Be a Quitter. Don't be a quitter. You know, this COVID pandemic did a lot of things. It made a lot of people sick. It killed a lot of my very dear friends. And I'll tell you, at the top of the list, in my opinion, I believe COVID was out to destroy the church. I believe COVID was and is an evil thing. I've never been one of those guys that they call sensationalist. There are still people out there that believe COVID is a fake thing. Can I tell you something? I know it's real because I had it. And it kicked my hind in. And every symptom they said went with this virus, I had it. I lost my taste and smell. I had that awful headache that felt like they was driving a railroad spike through the back of my head. I laid for 6 days with a high fever that would not go away. Every symptom they said went with COVID, this guy right here had it. You don't have to ask me if I believe it's real. I know it's real. But I also know this. I also know, if I can just talk real talk with you, okay? COVID had an agenda. And its agenda was to destroy the church. And there's a lot of people today that will tell you that COVID hurt the church. COVID, can I tell you what COVID did? COVID didn't hurt the church. COVID exposed the church. COVID showed us who was in and who was out. Amen. And there are still some people out there that was coming to church faithful. Some of these people came to church faithful. COVID gave them a reason to stay home, and they still haven't come back. Amen. It's kind of funny, some of these people that said, I love Jesus with all my heart, they were faithful to church. It's funny, you know, when they started lightening up on the COVID restrictions and where you could and could not go, there were people, young people, that thought it was safe to go to a basketball game or a football game or go to the Walmart or the shopping center or go out to eat, but God help them, it was still too dangerous to go to church. Huh? I'm going to tell you what blessed my soul, and then we're going to get to my message tonight. COVID shut my ministry down for almost 6 months, and I'm telling you what, my schedule went away like that. God has been good, and He has shown favor to my ministry. I've been a full-time preacher and evangelist for the past 18 years, and just about all of those 18 years, I have stayed booked up 12 to 14, sometimes 16 months in advance. We've had this thing booked for over a year, I guess. God has really been gracious to me, and He's kept me booked really, really far in advance. But when COVID hit, man, it wiped me out for almost 6 months. But I went back to preaching the first Sunday in August of 2020, Southside Baptist Church in Andalusia, Alabama. Now, there were still a lot of people afraid to come to church. And listen, I realized the church did what it had to do. In the very beginning, we didn't know what this virus was. We didn't know what it was going to do to people. And I really think a lot of churches were very wise in finding other ways to get their message out there. Some churches closed what they call in-person services. They started doing Facebook Live and YouTube. That was a good thing, amen. Come on, God gave us a brain, amen. Sometimes we got to use this thing called our brain, and we got to be wise. We didn't know what the virus was going to do. We did what we had to do. And I think most churches did an awesome job at keeping things going. But when I went back to preaching the first Sunday of August of 2020, I was at Southside Baptist Church in Andalusia, Alabama. This church was about the same size as this church, and on that Sunday morning, there was about 40 people that showed up. The youngest person might have been 70. The most vulnerable age group, called our senior saints, the most vulnerable age group have been the most faithful to come back to church. This has nothing to do with my message tonight, but for those of you that we call senior saints, you encourage me by your faith. You encourage me by your willingness to be faithful to church. And to you young people out there, are we on Facebook right now? We are on Facebook. There's a Facebook crowd out there. I want you to hear me and hear me clearly, all right? There's some of you young people that stopped going to church during the pandemic. It's time to come back. If you can go to a football game and you can go to a basketball game and you can go to the mall and you can go out to eat and you go to all these other places, you can come back to church. Amen. And I want you to know this church is open and this church loves you and this church welcomes you to come back. Amen. It's time to get back to church. That was free, by the way. Book of Acts, I got a message called Don't Be a Quitter. I want to set this up. Listen close, and then we're going to read, okay? In Acts chapter 25, Paul is taken before Festus and King Agrippa. All of Paul's accusers, they ask him questions about Jesus, who had died and who Paul affirmed to be alive. And the Jewish people, they wanted Paul put to death. And then in Acts 26, Paul begins to tell Agrippa how at one time he arrested the saints, persecuted them, and in verse 10 of chapter 26, Paul acknowledged that some were put to death. And then beginning in verse 19, Paul shares how he was converted to Christ on the Damascus Road. Paul was a man, listen church, Paul was a man that arrested Christians, persecuted Christians, and some were put to death. But then Paul was changed when he met the Lord Jesus. Can I tell you something tonight? Did you know Jesus can still save the worst of sinners? Some of those people that we think there's no hope for, don't give up on them. If Jesus can change Paul, he can change anybody. Amen. Paul was changed on the Damascus Road. And in verse 23, he shares how Jesus would rise from the dead. And we're going to begin reading in verse 24 of Acts chapter 26. And this is what happens in Acts 26, verses 24 through 29. It says, now as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, not a soft voice, not a calm voice. It was a loud voice. He said, Paul, you are beside yourself. In other words, they're saying, Paul, you sound like a Fruit Loop. You sound like you have lost your ever-loving mind. What are you saying? They think he's crazy. And they said with a loud voice, you're beside of yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. And then Paul said, I am not mad, most noble Festus. But I speak the words of truth and reason. For the king before whom I also speak freely knows of these things. For I'm convinced that none of these things escapes his attention. Since these things were not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? Here's what's happening. Everybody believed the prophets, and even the prophets said a Messiah was coming. The Old Testament is full of prophetic messages from the prophets that said, he's coming. Now, what was so hard for them to understand, this is what Paul is wanting to know. If you believe that, why is it so hard to believe that Jesus is he? He said, do you believe the prophets? He said, I know that you do believe them. And then Agrippa said to Paul, something happens here. I don't know what happened, My dad used to say all the time, I wished I'd have been a fly on the wall. Right? Have you ever known of something that happened in a room and you're thinking, boy, golly, I wished I could have been in there. Wished I was a fly on the wall. I wish I could have been a fly on the wall right here, because this whole thing, it gets flipped on its head. Because just a few verses earlier, they were saying, Paul, you're crazy. But then they say this. Agrippa said, Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. Some verses read this. Are you trying to persuade me to become a Christian? But what we know is this. They heard Paul. Paul said some things that got their attention. And the New King James translation says they looked at him and said, Paul, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian. I want to tell you tonight what I want to be more than anything else. Do I want people to tell me they enjoy my music? Absolutely. It feels good when people compliment you. When someone says, Kenny, you have a good voice, it makes you feel good. I love those compliments. When they say, Kenny, your preaching was great. Listen, I love that. Thank you for that. We like to be complimented. Amen? Amen? For some reason, they stopped telling me, Kenny, your hair looks good. That happened a long time ago, okay? I'm not happy about that. My dad is a bald-headed man. And when he started losing his hair, you know, sometimes people make fun of you if you're a bald-headed man. All you bald-headed guys, I'm going to teach you something right now, okay? Bald-headed guys, listen to these words. You can use this. I give you permission. The next time somebody makes fun of your bald head, just get spiritual on them. And you look at them and you say, listen, the top of my head is just like heaven. There'll be no part in there. How about it? Amen? So go ahead and make fun of me. It's all right. But I love the compliments. But can I tell you what I want more than anything? I want somebody to say, Kenny, I know Jesus today because of you. Kenny, something you said influenced me. One of the highlights of my ministry was several years ago. And by the way, I want to tell you this, and then we're going to get to my message, okay? Don't be in a hurry tonight, amen? You're going to dig this. This is going to be good. But one of the things I'll never forget is this, and I will tell you this, okay? Always know this. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's listening to you. And you'll never know the people that you influence along the way. There will be people in heaven because of you, and right now you don't even know it. You will meet somebody one day on the streets of gold, and they may walk up and say, guess what? I'm here today because of you. That's how God uses us. Now, we know Jesus saves them, but we're left to be the messengers. Are you with me? Several years ago, I was scrolling through Facebook, and there was a guy on Facebook. He was doing a live video on Facebook, and his name's Donnie. I call him Big D because he's just a big old boy. He's a hoss. So I said, I wonder what Big D is saying. I didn't know this, but Big D was sharing his testimony. Big D on the video said, can I tell you my story? He said, God called me to preach. I'm now an evangelist. I didn't know he was an evangelist. He said, I'm now an evangelist, and I'm now preaching. And I'm listening. He said, can I tell you why I'm an evangelist on this video? He said, because about 11 years ago, he said, there was an evangelist named Kenny Evans that was preaching and I got saved. I didn't know this, but I was like, go God. You know what I'm saying? It's those things that keep me going. And I don't know what happened here, but I know this. In one verse, they said, Paul, you sound like a madman. But just a couple of verses later, they said, but you almost persuade me to become a Christian. I'm going to tell you what I think happened here. I think these men and lots of other men saw Paul. Listen, I'm not cussing. Don't freak out on me. Paul went through hell. before he got here. And because Paul didn't quit, it made a difference. I want to give you just kind of a quick flyover of the book of Acts. I'm going to share with you, listen, what I'm about to share with you, everything I'm going to tell you, this is what Paul went through before he got to Festus and Agrippa, before they looked at him and said, "You sound crazy, but you almost persuade me." Listen to everything Paul went through before he got here. And can I tell you something? When you decide to follow Jesus all the way, when you decide to be all in, you're going to go through some stuff. There will be people turn their back on you. You will have family members and friends that will outcast you. There will be people in your community that talk about you. When you decide that you're going to be all in for the gospel, you can bet there will be trials that will come your way. Now, you're not going to turn to all these parts of Scripture. I just want you to listen for a moment, okay? I'm going to give you a quick flyover of the book of Acts and everything Paul went through before he got to Festus and Agrippa. And then I'm going to share with you why we can't quit in 2022. And then at the end of the service, I'm going to give you the opportunity to rededicate your life like you've never done it before. Because what we do when we give invitations, we say, "You want to come rededicate your life?" Some of you come to the altar and you say, "Lord, I want to rededicate my life," but you're not willing to give God everything. When I was on staff at Beach Park Baptist Church, I was a student pastor. It was a fairly large church. We had a lot of leaders, a lot of staff members. We had one of our Sunday school teachers that smoked these little cigars. Right? He was hooked on them. I was a student pastor. I was also the music minister. And one Sunday morning, we were singing during the invitation, "I surrender all, I surrender all." And I looked down, his name was Mike. And I heard, when you're singing "I surrender all" and you've got 400 people out there, all you hear is a bunch of noise, but you see. This is what Mike was doing. What's he saying? He's saying more than "I surrender all." And after church, I looked at him and he was laughing. I said, "Mike, we were singing 'I Surrender All.' What was you singing?" He was singing, "I surrender all but my cigars. I surrender all but my cigars." See, some of you, you need to rededicate your life by surrendering everything. And you're going to have the chance to do that tonight. And I challenge you to do that. And whatever that thing may be that's keeping you from being all in like Paul, I challenge you, bring it to the altar tonight. Is it tobacco? It may be. Is it lust? It may be. Whatever it may be, tonight you need to come to the altar and say, "I surrender all." Paul, listen close. Don't turn here. This is everything Paul went through before he gets to Festus and Agrippa. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 26, the Bible says that Paul and Barnabas risked their life for the name of the Lord. Can I ask you, have you ever risked your life for the Lord? Here in America, very few people risk their life for the Lord. You know, we're very spoiled with this thing called church. Did you know there are some people in other countries, when they go to church, they risk their life? If they're caught going to church, they'll kill them. It said Paul risked his life for the Lord. In Acts 14:9, listen close. It says Paul was stoned to the point they thought they killed him. Did you know they used to stone people to death, and in some countries they still do? Me and my family, before my son and daughter moved out, this has been about 3 months ago, we were sitting on our patio. We were having a lot of fun, right? My son found this article online. He said, "Let's have some fun." I said, "What?" He said, "I found the 10 most painful ways to die." All right. This article said this, and it had on there dying by burning alive, drowning, gunshot. Guess what was ranked the most painful way to die. Being stoned to death. I mean, imagine this. A mob of people are taking stones the size of their fist over and over and over. On and on and on. Not only will it take a very long time, but it keeps going and keeps going and going and going and going. Stone after stone after stone. They hit you and it knocks one of your eyeballs out. I'm not being silly here. They throw it and it splits your skull open. They throw you and it starts knocking your teeth out of your mouth. And it keeps going and going and going, stone after stone after stone. And eventually they hit you with one in the head that may make you unconscious, but you're not dead. Now you're laying unconscious and they keep pounding it until your skull crushes and caves in. The Bible in the book of Acts says they were stoning Paul and they thought he was dead, laying lifeless. He wasn't dead. It says this in Acts 16. It says, then after they stoned him, it says, then him and Paul and Silas, then they were beaten with rods and thrown in prison. And then it says Paul journeyed back to Jerusalem. And then Paul said this, after he had been stoned to the point they thought he was dead, after they beat him with rods, threw him in prison. And then Paul said this in Acts 21:13, I'm ready to not only be bound, but to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. How many of us would say this? Let them lock me up. I will not bow down to the ways of this world. I will not bow down to a corrupt government. I will stand firm in my faith even if they lock me up. Can I tell you about a preacher that said that? Dr. John MacArthur at Grace Community Church in the state of California during the pandemic. The governor of California, who needs Jesus, by the way. You may not know this, but did you know in the middle of the pandemic in 2020, the governor of California told the churches to close their doors. And if they didn't, they would fine them $5,000 for every time they gathered for church. You know what John MacArthur said? He said, we're not closing our doors. John MacArthur said, we are going to have church. And John MacArthur in the pulpit said this, lock me up. You will have to put me behind bars, but we are not closing this church. It's funny how all these governors and these corrupt politicians, it's funny how so many of these people, hey, guess what? They didn't want to close the casinos down. They didn't want to close the strip bars down and the beer joints. But God help them, church is dangerous. Let's close the church. Amen? Somebody help me tonight. Amen? And then in Acts 21 and verse 30, it says they seized Paul and they drug him from the temple. And then in Acts 21:32, it says they saw the commander and the soldiers coming and they stopped beating Paul. So he's taking another beating. And then in Acts 23 and verse 2, it says they struck Paul in the face and started punching him in the mouth. Can we say that Paul went through hell? Can we talk some real talk? Listen, all of this before he was taken to Festus and Agrippa. And after all of this, he goes to Festus and Agrippa, and he's still preaching Jesus. He's still talking of the goodness of God. He's still sharing how Jesus changed his life. He's still saying, yes, I know the King is alive. I've met with him, and I know him. I know Jesus. I know Jesus. After you beat me to a bloody pulp, after you stoned me to the point that I was a dead man, after you struck me with a rod and threw me in prison, you will not silence me. And they said, Paul, you sound crazy. Paul said, I'm not crazy. I just know who he is. And then they said, Paul, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian. Can I let you know a little secret? Doing this Christian thing the right way, it's not for sissies. This thing's not for sissies. And I'm going to let you know another secret. If you're not being laughed at, if you're not being persecuted, if you're not being labeled, if you're not being cussed at, you ain't doing it right. And he said, Brother Kenny, how can you say that? I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Jesus said in Matthew, he said, you'll be hated for my name's sake. That don't sound like a lot of fun, does it? I'll never forget this, and then we're going to give you two quick points and go home. You're going to hear my entire testimony Wednesday night. Wednesday night is soul winning night. That's the night that all of you are going to bring your lost loved ones, your family members, your coworkers, your neighbors, anybody you think needs to be saved, invite them to church. Here's what I want you to know. I don't want you to go to them and say some preacher's going to preach to you, right? If you go to them and say, I want you to go to church because some preacher's going to lead you to Jesus, you know what they're going to do? I ain't going. I want you to go to them. I want you to say, listen, we're having a concert Wednesday night. And we are. Helen said, there's going to be a concert, and it's going to be fun, and I want you to go, right? That's how you're going to get them here. And Wednesday night is also what? T-shirt night. T-shirt night. There you go, T-shirt night. So you'll hear some of this again Wednesday night, but before I was a Christian, I had a drinking problem, and I used to use drugs, and I did a lot of crazy stuff you're going to hear about Wednesday night. But I was in a band, and we toured all over the country in a country band. We played in a lot of nightclubs and beer joints, and there was this beer joint that we played in Wilmington, Delaware, and a little bitty old hole-in-the-wall place. This is one of those places where they'd give you a gun and a knife on the way in, so you'd have a fighting chance of getting back out alive. You know what I'm saying? So, but anyway, when my band and I first started going to this place, and it was about a 10-hour drive from East Tennessee to Wilmington, when we would go, we would play at this place about twice a year. We would go in, and the minute we would walk through the doors, the party started. We was there for 4 or 5 days. Listen, I was so drunk for 4 or 5 days, I couldn't tell you my name. You know what I mean? I didn't know where I was at. We got up and played our show every night, and we smoking dope and drinking. We was doing everything you're not supposed to do. I mean, Kenny Evans used to be the life of the party, okay? Let me tell you something. There's beer joints out there that name drinks after me, okay? I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, I was a messed up dude, right? And this place in Wilmington, Delaware, we'd go there and stay for 4 or 5 days, and we partied for 4 or 5 days around the clock. But in January of 1998, I got saved. And Jesus changed my life. He changed my heart. He set me free of alcohol and drugs, restored my marriage. I want to tell you tonight that I love Jesus with all of my heart. I don't deserve what He's done for me. I'm thankful for grace. Amen. I got saved, quit drinking, quit partying. My booking agent called me up and said, you're scheduled to play in Delaware again. I was like, yes. Now I get to go back and tell them about Jesus. That's what I wanted to do. I want to go back and tell them what Jesus done for me. So my band and I, we loaded up. We drove to Wilmington, Delaware. And this is the way this would always work. In years past, when they knew we were coming, they would have the bar lined with shot glasses. When we would walk through the door, we'd just start drinking. I'm telling you, we were crazy. So we get there, we said, we're going to be there at 3 o'clock or whatever. I would love to tell you that my band members were Christians too, but some of these people were still stupid. You know what I mean? They were crazy. So we get to Wilmington, Delaware. We get out. We walk through the door of this beer joint. The bar is lined with shot glasses. Some of the people started drinking, and I just stood there. And the owner of this beer joint was there. And the owner of the beer joint, he said, come on, Ken, have a drink. I said, no, I don't believe I will. They said, come on. You're the king of all parties. We've shut this place down with you. Get over here and grab one of these shot glasses. I said, no, I don't believe I want to. He said, why not? I said, well, I said, since I was here last, I said, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. And I said, and I don't drink no more. He looked at me and he said, get out and don't never come back. What? We just drove 10 hours to get here. I've got 6 guys in my band that I got to write a paycheck for, right? He said, get out. You're not welcome here. We hadn't been there 10 minutes. I looked at my guys in my band. I said, let's go. We load up. We're driving down the road. And I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to do? I had a manager. I had a booking agent. I had a producer. And I had 6 band members. I had 9 people that I paid every week. That was their full-time job. And I'm, Lord, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? This is back before cell phones. That's when you still had a pager, you know what I mean? You might ever have a pager? Y'all remember somebody would page you, and there would be these crazy numbers, and it was a code. And you would have to take the number to the phone dial and match the number to the letter to figure out what they were saying. You might remember this, right? So I paged my manager, you know, call me, need help or whatever. So he calls me, stopped at a payphone. I said, listen, they just kicked us out, man. I drove 10 hours. They kicked us out. And I said, what are we going to do? I got 9 people to pay this week. He said, well, he said, get back on the interstate. He said, I'll page you, you know, it'll be all right. So I get back on the interstate. And he pages me about 30 minutes later and says, call me. So I called him. He said, all right. He said, here's the deal, man. He said, have you made it to interstate such and such yet? I said, no. He said, well, when you get to interstate such and such, he said, go east. He said, there's a place in Washington, D.C., and they want you to play this week. I said, thank you, Lord. He said, no. He said, you ain't heard the best part yet. He said, they're going to pay you double what the place in Delaware was going to pay you. Amen. And I said, thank you, Jesus. You know? Let me tell you this. God's not always going to double your money. I'm not telling you this story to say that. I'm telling you this story for 2 reasons. You need to know something. If you are in all the way, if you will be bold for your faith, if you will stand firm even in the toughest of places. Do you think Paul wanted to be here after he had done had the snot beat out of him? Do you think Paul wanted this? Nobody wants to be beat. Nobody wants to be stoned. But if you will stand firm in the most difficult moments, God will take care of you. But you got to be all in. You got to be fully committed. You can't be a quitter. You got to come to God and say, God, I'm giving you all of me. Yes, God, you saved me. I know I'm saved, but I'm not all in. And God, I need to lay some stuff down tonight. I need to surrender some things tonight so that I can leave here fully recovered, fully restored, recommitted, ready to fight the battle with everything in me. And you know what? Some people are going to call you crazy, but then along the way, you're also going to hear this. You almost persuade me to become a Christian. And can I tell you something? Those are some special words to hear. I'm going to give you 2 quick reasons why you need to be all in. 2 reasons why you can't be a quitter. And 2 reasons why you need to surrender some things tonight. Reason number 1, you need to know that the local church is dying. And we need you. The local church is dying. I want to give you some quick numbers from the Southern Baptist Convention that truly break my heart. The COVID virus supposedly appeared in 2020, okay? Some people say it was in the fall of 2019. But this is what happens in the Southern Baptist denomination, okay? In the Southern Baptist denomination, you have what's called the Southern Baptist Convention. That's, for a lack of better terms, the headquarters for our denomination. And then out of the Southern Baptist Convention, you have what's called state conventions. You have the Tennessee Baptist Convention, the Georgia Baptist Convention. Every state has their convention. And then in the states, you have what's called local associations. Brother Stacy Dyer was here last night. He's the director of missions for your association. So you've got the national level, the Southern Baptist Convention, and then you have the state conventions, Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama. And then in each state, you have local associations. And then the associations is where you have the individual churches. My home church is part of the Big Emory Baptist Association, where it's about 72 churches in our association. Our association is part of the Tennessee Baptist Convention. The Tennessee Baptist Convention is part of the Southern Baptist Convention. Are you with me? Every year, the Southern Baptist Convention has an annual meeting or conference, the Southern Baptist Convention. And in that conference, they talk about all kinds of things. They talk about business. They talk about social issues. They talk about the status of the church. And then after each conference or meeting, they release what's called an annual report. You can go to the Southern Baptist Convention's website and you can read the annual report. You can go to most state convention website and read their annual report. Now listen, in 2019, this is the year before COVID. Okay, everybody, this needs to register. 2019 is the year before COVID hit the church. The 2019 Southern Baptist Convention said this. 2019 was the 14th consecutive year. No break, no dip, no rise. It was the 14th consecutive year that Southern Baptist churches had a decline in new membership, overall attendance, financial giving. Check this out. 2019 reported a 100-year low in number of baptisms. This is the year before COVID. If that's 2019 numbers, God help 2020. When churches couldn't even gather, when churches couldn't fill a baptistry. Are you with me? Are you getting this picture? And can I tell you something? 2021 wasn't much better for a lot of churches. We were talking last night at supper. Even in 2022, churches are still closing. Churches are still struggling. The church is dying, and we need you. We need you like Paul to be all in, fully committed. Surrender everything and say, God, remove anything in my life that's going to keep me from serving you with everything I have. We need you. Amen? I'm grateful that you're here tonight, amen? Thankful that you're here. Tonight, I'm going to give you the chance to come to the altar and recommit your life like you've never committed it before. God, help me to be all in. And reason number two that we need you is because there are millions and millions and millions of people out there that are lost and unsaved and don't know Jesus. There's a lot of reports out there that give you church demographics. We live in what's called the Bible Belt. And there are several states that make up or represent what's called the Bible Belt. Georgia is in the Bible Belt. The Carolinas are in the Bible Belt. Alabama, Mississippi, Texas is in the Bible Belt. Louisiana is the Bible Belt. Guess what state is ranked as the most evangelical state in the Bible Belt? The state of Tennessee. The little town I live in of Oliver Springs, Tennessee, we're right outside of a town called Oak Ridge, Tennessee. The little town I live in of Oliver Springs, Tennessee, has roughly 2,000 people. We have 19 Baptist churches. Okay, and then we got our Methodist churches. Pentecost, 19 Baptist churches in a town of 2,000. Tennessee is ranked as the most evangelical state in America. People ask me all the time when they hear that I sing in Pigeon Forge and I'm East Tennessee. People say all the time, do you live in the Bible Belt? I say, nope. They look at me funny and I say, honey, I live on the belt buckle, okay? One of my dear friends, Pastor Robbie Leach, he's also a board member. He's on my advisory council for my ministry. And that's something else I've done, too, that I want you to know. I take this serious. And we assembled an advisory council for me. Everybody needs accountability, right? I have four men, four dear brothers, that are on my advisory council. These are men that I go to when I need wisdom, when I need advice. These are men that also times will call me and tell me that, Kenny, you need to do this. You know what I'm saying? I would challenge you, find somebody to help you along the way. We all need people to do life with. Amen. When you travel like I do, I'm away from my family a lot. Sometimes I feel like the Lone Ranger out here. It does my soul good to know that there are four men. There's a lot of people, but I've got four men that's constantly praying for me. These men I talk to all the time, they help me along the way. One of those men is Pastor Robbie Leach. Robbie Leach is the pastor of Beach Park Baptist Church. Robbie is a pastor's pastor. Robbie is one of those pastors, when he speaks, other pastors listen. Robbie is on the executive board of the Tennessee Baptist Convention. Robbie was telling me a few months ago that the state of Tennessee, the Tennessee Baptist Convention, conducted a survey. Now remember, this is the most evangelical state in America. The Tennessee Baptist Convention conducted a survey. I don't know how they did it, but they wanted to find out how many people in the state of Tennessee were lost and unchurched. Now in the state of Tennessee, there are nearly 7 million people that live in our state. 7 million people. The Tennessee Baptist Convention conducted a survey. How many people of the 7 million people in the state of Tennessee are lost and unchurched? This is the belt buckle of the Bible Belt, ranked the most evangelical state in America. The Tennessee Baptist Convention survey concluded that 52% of our state is lost and unchurched. 52%. When 52% of the Bible Belt is lost, what's that say about the rest of the country? We need people to be all in. We need church members to step up and say, I surrender all. I lay it all down. No matter what it costs me, when it's difficult, when it don't feel good, I'm all in. I'm going to tell you a story and then we're going to go home. Something happened about 10, 12 years ago that truly changed the way I look at being fully committed. My wife and I, we were going to surprise our kids with a Christian concert. Years ago, do you remember the group FFH? FFH was a real popular contemporary Christian band. 20 years ago, was it? 18? Yeah. Well, FFH was one of my kids' favorite bands. We found out FFH was coming to Knoxville to do a concert. Now, in East Tennessee, probably in LJ, Georgia, there are times in the fall it can get cold. This was in late October of this year. FFH was coming to concert to Knoxville. They were going to be at a church that I had been to several times myself. So my wife and I got together and we said, listen, let's buy tickets to the FFH concert. We're not going to tell the kids. We're going to surprise them and they'll love it. So we put our plans together late October. The plan was this. The kids were going to get home from school. We was going to say, kids, get your coat. We're going somewhere. We were going to go eat at their favorite Mexican restaurant. Then we were going to leave the restaurant. We were going to go to the bookstore, Christian bookstore. That's where you picked up your tickets. Then we were going to head to the church for the concert. So the kids get home. We said, kids, go grab your coats. We're going somewhere. Dad, where are we going? Don't worry about it. Go get your coat. We're going somewhere. Dad, where are we going? Don't worry about it. Go get your coat. Get in the car. Get in the car. Driving down the road. Dad, where are we going? If you ask me out again, I'm going to knock your teeth out. Don't act all spiritual. You said it too. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, we get to the Mexican restaurant where we're eating at. Now, we was there hours in advance. We wanted to have time to hang out with the kids. So we get to the Mexican restaurant. We eat our food. And then we're probably 6 miles, 5 or 6 miles from the church. We eat this Mexican restaurant. We finish our meal. And then we leave to go to the bookstore to pick up our tickets. Now, it's probably still 2 hours before the concert's going to start. We leave the Mexican restaurant. We're driving to the bookstore. And as we're driving along, we see two black men walking along the side of the highway. And I'm telling you what, it was cold. Late October, it was cold. These two black men are walking along the side of the highway. And you could tell one of them was struggling to walk. And the other one had him by the arm, and they were walking along the highway. They had on big old coats. We're headed to the bookstore to get the tickets, and my wife said, "That is so pitiful." I said, "It is. It is. I hope they don't have to go too far." We go to the bookstore. We get our tickets. I said, "Let's go to the church." It's still an hour and a half before the concert. We're 5 miles from the church. We leave the bookstore. Head to the church. We drive probably a mile, mile and a half. We see both those men again walking the highway. One of them barely walking. The other one's got him by the arm, helping him walk. My wife said, "Boy, they're pitiful." I said, "I know, it's sad." So we get to the church an hour and 15 minutes before the concert. Me and my wife are sitting on this side. My wife's sitting like this. We're talking. My wife's sitting to this side of me. And I asked my wife a question. And when my wife turned to answer me, she went, "Oh, my gosh." I said, "What?" She said, "Look who just walked through the doors." And I turned and looked. And those men had come through the church doors. Check this out. I ain't done. One of them's barely walking. The other one's got him by the hand. It makes their way around. They were the only colored folks there that night. It was packed. They make their way to the very back. We're sitting there. And I'm sitting right here. Well, the band comes on and starts playing. And if I can just speak truth to you tonight. The band starts playing and we stand up and I'm doing this. I'm thinking to myself, if I'm being honest with you, I'm thinking, this is just crazy. I look back and these two men were the only ones in the crowd worshiping God. And I looked at my wife and I said, "After this concert, you're going to have to stick around here a while." She said, "Why?" I said, "Because they ain't going to walk home." I knew the pastor. I'd been there before. I went to the pastor and I said, "Pastor," I said, "have you got a deacon or a leader that can ride with me?" I said, I want to offer these guys a ride home." He said, "I'll find somebody." I went to my wife and I said, "I don't know how long this is going to take, but I'll be back." So I got this deacon and I went to the man and I said, "Hey man," I said, "I saw you walking here." You know, we were at the restaurant. And I said, "I saw you walking." And I said, "It's awful cold outside." I said, "Could I give you a ride home?" He said, "Mister, that would be very much appreciated." So we get in my car and they're in the back seat and we begin to talk. And I remember asking this question. I said, "Who's your friend?" He said, "That's my brother." He said, "He can't talk." He said, "He was in a car wreck when he was a kid. And he can barely walk." And he said this. He said, "I have to help him everywhere he goes." And there he was, helping him down the road. Then I asked that guy, I said, "Can I ask you a personal question?" I said, "I know you walked at least 5 miles to get here." I said, why were you here tonight?" He said, "Mister," he said, "it wasn't too awfully long ago." He said, "I was strung out on drugs." He said, "I was sitting in my living room with a loaded gun." He said, "And I was trying to find every way." He said, I was trying to talk myself up to just end it all. He said, "And my television was on." He said, "I heard a voice. And that voice said this. Jesus loves you just the way you are. But he don't want to leave you that way." And he looked at the TV. He said, "Somebody out there needs to hear this. Jesus can set you free no matter what you're going through." And he said, "That man told me how I could have Jesus in my life." And he said, "On that day, I laid that gun down. And he said, I fell to my knees in our living room." And he said, "I gave my heart and life to Jesus that day. I've never been the same." This is no joke. I bet we drove 12 miles to take him home. I said, you walked a long ways. This is what he said. He said, mister, if I'd have had to walk 50 miles to get there, I'd have done it. I looked at him and I said, brother, I said, I want you to know something tonight. You don't know this, but your being there was for me. Now I know that I have zero reason to ever make excuses. I have zero reason to ever say, well, it's not comfortable. It's inconvenient. Well, it's cold outside. I said, your being there was for me. I'm going to tell you who I met that night. I met a man, some people would have called him crazy. When he looked at some of his friends and said, I'm about to walk 12 miles to church. You know what they said to Paul? You sound like a madman. Some of his friends, they probably said, you're a madman. But that man I met that night, I don't know his name. I'll probably never see him again. But I saw a man that night that made a decision that he was going to fully commit to Jesus. Now, I want to ask you tonight, some of you tonight, there's something in your life that is a barrier between you and being fully committed. Now, I don't know what that is, and I don't have to know what that is. I know what mine is. And can I be honest with you? Mine is something that I have to pray through often. What is yours? My friend Mike, his was little cigars. He knew those little cigars had a grip on him that he couldn't shake, and he hated it. He hated it. And he used to sing, I surrender all but my cigars. I surrender all but my cigars. Yours might be trust. Yours might be tobacco. I don't know. But I'm going to give you the chance tonight to recommit your life like you've never done it before. And I'm not asking you to come tonight in a religious way to say, Lord, I want to rededicate my life tonight. I'm asking you to come tonight and say, Lord, you know every fiber of my being. You know every thought that goes through my mind. You know every struggle I have. And you know what I need to fully surrender to be fully committed. And on this night, I'm surrendering it all. My lack of trust, God, I surrender all of it. My addictions, I surrender all of it. I'm going to talk some real talk for just a minute. Somebody here tonight is addicted to internet pornography. Somebody is struggling with lust. You don't have to tell me about it. You don't have to tell anybody about it. Can I tell you something? God knows about it. Tonight is your night to come to the altar and say, God, I surrender that tonight. Somebody here, you're struggling with fully trusting God. It may be over your money. It may be over your family. Tonight is your night to say, God, I surrender everything. You know what it is. We're giving you a chance tonight to recommit your life like you've never done it before. And just get real before a holy God and lay it on the altar. And when you do, there will be people that will say, you're crazy. You sound like a madman. But you're also going to have people say, you've persuaded me. Tell me about Jesus. That's our invitation tonight. Will you fully surrender? And will you fully commit to this thing called the ministry? You may not realize it, but when you got saved, you got called to ministry. You may not have been called to be a pastor. You may not have been called to be a missionary, but you are called by God to be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single one of you. Bring it to the altar and say, God, I surrender it all. Tonight I fully commit this to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that your people have heard your word. I pray that your people tonight are challenged, and I pray, God, that they would bring it to the altar in a way they've never done it before. This is where revival begins. Give your people courage. Silence the enemy. Don't let them hear the voice of the enemy. Jesus, speak. Help your people to take that step of faith. In Jesus' name, amen.